We're sponsored by Overcast, an independent podcast app that embraces the open world of podcasting instead of locking it down. No exclusives, no premium content, no paywalls, just a great podcast app for everyone. Get it for free in the App Store. Hello, everyone. My name is Ned, and welcome to Wisteria Gaze. Mackenzie is dead. For the next couple minutes, technical difficulties made me lose the first 10 to 15 minutes of this episode, but thankfully I have all of it from when we jump in, so just like the top of episode notes, I'm gonna be doing that this week, and I'm gonna kinda bumble through it. So let's get started. Welcome to Wisteria Gaze, everybody. This is a Desperate Housewives rewatch podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Desperate Housewives in order. We're called Wisteria Gaze. I'm pretty sure I messed up something already in all of that. But we are on season 3, episode 18. Originally premiering on April 15th, 2007, this episode is called Liaisons from the musical A Little Night Music. The episode was directed by David Grossman and written by Jenna Bans and Alexandra Cunningham. Fun fact, this is episode 65 of the whole show, so we're almost at the perfect number. For Wisteria International, the German title of this episode is called Passionate, French, Blazing Fire, and there's, for Wisteria International, we have Germany coming in with a title of Passionate, Mexico with Relationships, and France with my personal favorite, Blazing Fire. Oh my god, and there's a Polish version, Lies, and some white too, which, alright, okay. Usually there would be some more witty banter. There would be some... some banter. but that's all I got for you at the top of this episode. I've been talking for too many minutes by myself all along. Let's hang out with my good friend Mackenzie. There she is right now. Let's dive into this sode.
We open on an awkward morning after with Carlos and Edie in bed after a night of boring bad sex, because though they are both passionate and sexual people, their sex together is fucking nasty, apparently.
apparently, it's the same thing with, like, positives and negatives. You know, you get two positives, it creates a negative. You get two people really good at fucking, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's the worst sex you've ever had.
I don't know. I'm not going to claim to be an experienced person, but, like, how do you fuck up that bad? Like, especially with, like, cis-hetero normative sex. Like, how do you, I don't know.
Sex sent you to the ER is a whole television show.
I wish the plot of this episode was that sex sent Carlos and Edie to the ER.
Does it not?
No, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure it does.
that's the lost episode of Desperate Housewives.
Edie and Carlos, they decide with each other that they are never going to have sex again. With each other.
Yes.
I phrased that very strangely.
they're both going to be abstinent forever. They've been ruined for anyone else.
They have their Fairview High Abstinence Club shirts in. They're
oh,
the club
yes.
Now,
so. They're going to be in the Abstinence Club. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. And it's a pretty short cold open of them joining the Abstinence Club, because it takes us to the opening credits. And can I tell you, I didn't write down really the full monologue other than Mary Alice is talking about lonely people, and the only thing I cared about was that we see Ida. Mm-hmm. She's lonely. Where are you? Are you not hanging out with her? I thought she's your wife, your lover.
We broke up.
You and Ida broke up.
We broke up, yeah.
I can't believe you didn't tell me. I can't believe I'm finding out live on air.
It was really messy, and I don't really like talking about it. And of course, like, I will tell you all of the details after this. But
can you tell me who broke up with whom?
Do you really want to know?
I do, yeah.
I broke it off with her.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The plot thickens.
So now that's why she's lonely. And you know who else is lonely?
Tell me.
Klusky. Klusky is so lonely because she's telling a bunch of stories to what I can only presume is her dead ex-husband in her freezer.
Oh, Gilbert, right? Isn't that his name?
Gilbert Gottfried, yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried, her dead ex. I love how it's her ex because he's dead. Like, her dead ex from being alive husband.
Sorry. Mr. McCluskey can't come to the phone right now. Why? He's dead.
And she's sort of just saying that she, you know, she's lonely, but she has a predictable life. Like, she knows that Lynette's probably going to call her, asking to help take care of the babies. And she's right. She gets a call from Lynette, almost like clockwork. And we find out that, like, Tom is, like, hospital bedridden. I love that they moved a full hospital bed into, like, the office of the Scavo home.
I know.
And they're trying to hire an assistant manager to try to help Lynette out over these next few months while Tom is going to be basically bedridden and Klutsky's going to be helping take care of the babies. Lynette is clearly very stressed, and she's trying to kind of tamper his worries but also take care of herself. And the main thing I wrote was that Lynette looks really good here.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing the messy hair look. She's back to season one vibes in a way I enjoy.
Ooh, that's a powerful statement. I don't know if you know this, but Felicity Huffman is in BoJack Horseman as Felicity Huffman.
I did know that, but I forgot, like, until you posted that in the Discord.
I've been rewatching it, and so...
Hell yeah, that's Rachel's depression show. So whenever I see BoJack Horseman playing in the living room, I'm like, oh... Oh, we're depressed.
I never finished it. Really? I never watched the last half of the last season. So I'm rewatching it, and I'm going to finish it this time.
You are in for a fucking ride, because the finale, the, like, penultimate and the series finale is insane of that show.
Jeez. Okay.
You are in for a ride. I think that's basically it, right? Because we...
Yeah.
I just... The next thing I wrote was just, oh my God, Travers is learning to pour a beer for his mother at, like, 9 a.m.
The next note I have is, Travers got his mom a beer.
It's like a breakfast beer. Like, it's fully 9:30 and Edie is, like, she's pre-gaming lunch.
It's kind of like a wake and bake, but it's a, what would a drinking version of wake and bake be?
Unsnooze and booze?
Unsnooze and booze, yeah.
I like that she's a beer girl, like, drinking a fucking, like, Bud at, like, 9 a.m.
She's one of the boys.
She's not like other girls, okay? She loves football and beer and chicken wings.
And she actually likes sex.
Yeah.
Anyway.
She loves giving blowjobs.
She hates getting eaten out.
Made me laugh so hard. Oh, jinkies. What's happening?
Edie's basically having nightmares because she is so bad in bed. So Travers is there and, like, hello, Mumsy. Here's your morning brew.
and he asks if she's okay because he heard she's bad in bed, which is insane to me. This whole sequence was very bonkers of him being like, Mom, are you dying? I heard you're bad in bed. Oh. When she found out Carlos was saying that about her, I really thought she was about to just go kill that man.
Of course, yeah. I'm surprised she didn't just, like, fly over there.
Fly out the roof like Susan and just go torpedoing into Carlos's bedroom and just punch him.
Yeah. That's essentially that scene, though. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then we cut to Ian.
Boo.
Ian's by the orange stand. And so is Mike.
The Fairview orange stand.
The classic FO, you know?
He is such a piss baby about seeing Mike. And it's like, he's like, oh, you're following us. And it's like, this is not a large town. There's like 30 people in this town. You're going to see him places. You know what I mean?
But I mean, that does hit Ian, because shortly after he runs into Mike and he talks about it being such a small town, he asks Susan to move to London with him.
That is bonkers. I think Susan is totally valid in this scene. Being like, mm-hmm. Julie's in school. All my friends are here. My life is here. You can't just ask someone to relocate on a whim.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, oh my she's God. Marrying this dude, so whatever.
Important piece of context that we did not mention. They are in a car.
Oh, yeah. Driving. Yes, they are leaving the orange stand, the Fairview orange stand.
Well, because, like, while they are driving, Susan just fucking loses control of the car, slips and slides, obviously has never seen Cars 1. You gotta turn with the turn.
Well, it's because there was a deer, right? There's like a little fucking, a little Bambi there. And yeah, she hasn't seen Cars. She doesn't even know who Mater is. Are you kidding me?
Come on.
Tomater.
Come on. Anyway. they die.
That's the end of Desperate Housewives, yeah.
This was a good run.
Thank you all for coming on this adventure with us, watching Desperate Housewives for 3 seasons and 18 episodes. We're done now.
Bye. Roll credits.
Wait.
And in the alternate scene.
I see bubbles. Wait, I see bubbles. And they're alive?
Oh my God, the show is revived. They are not dead. Everybody, they just got into a bad car crash.
keep listening. We find out Ian doesn't know how to swim, which is wild.
I love that for him. I love that who just so happens to be passing by at this moment. But Mike, he gets out, he takes his shirt off, and he dives in.
Him taking his little shirt off, I was like, yes, Mr. Mike. He's looking good.
Yeah.
He's sexy. I love him.
I loved the line where he was just like, yeah, just grab onto my neck and I'll swim us to shore.
I can't imagine Susan ever wanting to be with Ian when you see, like, Mike in that moment with his shirt off, like, leaping into a lake. Freaking bacteria be damned. He's going to save your life. I mean, it's great. Mm-hmm.
Mike taking his shirt off. He gets out of the water. God, my whole body is wet. Thank God my shirt is dry.
Literally, like, your jeans. Wet denim sucks. Like, when you're wearing wet denim, it's such an uncomfortable feeling. And, like, he should have gone down to his boxers, I'm going to say it, okay?
Whoa.
Because he could have taken the wet boxers off and then gone commando and had dry clothes.
Whoa. That's true. Quick, Ian, grab onto my dick and I'll swim us to shore to safety.
That's just the image of Ian holding onto his penis. Like between
he's dragging behind.
Like between his legs, yeah. Just... Oh, Mike's dick just swinging back and forth. Oh, gosh. Then we cut to the pizzeria, and Lynette can't seem to find anybody good for the assistant manager position, and Andrew's like, well, your pay sucks, which I think is funny. And in this moment, it's a very small line, but I loved it, and I wanted to make sure you heard it. We find out that Andrew is sleeping with the beer delivery guy.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. I just wanted to mention that because I loved that.
But shortly after that conversation with Andrew, somebody new comes into town. His name is Rick. He is Italian.
He's a
soprano.
He moved over from The Sopranos, yeah, and came.
Yeah,
to
yeah, yeah.
Houses.
It's a crossover.
Mm-hmm.
His mother is, or his grandmother is from Naples. Well, actually, speaking of The Sopranos, isn't there a character from The Sopranos in the show at some point? Andrea.
Oh, yes. Yes. The actress who plays Andrea on The Sopranos is going to be kind of a new housewife edition in season five? No, six. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so far. Six. That's so far away.
Yeah, it is. But she's fucking awesome. She's one of my favorite characters in Desperate Housewives. Absolutely.
I hope she comes in and then, like, four episodes later, she's, like, gone.
No, she's fab. I'm excited for her to be around. Also, that actress is hot. Like, I followed her on Instagram for a while because I thought she was so hot, but all she does is post about her podcast, so I unfollowed.
So, Rick. His grandmother's from Italy. He is a chef, and he really wants to bone down on some food.
What was your first vibe from this man?
I was like, he's gonna try to seduce Lynette. You can't have like a suave guy come in and not like be a major plot point, which I'm just assuming he's going to be a plot point in Lynette's story. But whenever you have a suave or just, let me restart that. Whenever you have a man come into a character's life in this show, it's usually that they are going to smooch a little bit.
Smooch that cooch. We got a lot of catchphrases coming out of this episode in a way I love. We find out, yeah, he has so much experience, and we do cut away before we find out why he wants to work at Scavo's, because Lynette's like, you're too good for us. Why do you want to work here? And they do that thing I love that TV shows do where he's like, well, and then pauses for like a really unnatural amount of time, and then they don't show us. Because we first have to see Tom and McCluskey are bickering. They're fighting because Tom's being a little piss baby. And it gets interrupted by Lynette bursting in to announce that she hired Rick. And she mentions to Tom that he has a history of being an addict. But he's clean now. And he's been clean. And Tom is really fucking gross about it. What was your face? You made a face.
I said something in the beginning that doesn't happen until the end of the episode. I said that Klusky's husband is dead in the freezer. And then that's not like a reveal.
Oh, I didn't hear you say in the freezer.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Tom is just really, I think, rude about him. And I'm actually interested to see if the show's going to do some sort of commentary on, yeah, how hard it is for people who are getting clean to get into jobs. I don't know if I trust this show to have that kind of nuanced commentary. That's
what I was going to say. Like, I would love to see something like, I would love to see that kind of storyline come out of this show, but I just don't have high hopes.
Not at all. And, like, I loved McCluskey in this moment. I want to do Lesbian of the Episode nominee for McCluskey because Tom is being a total asshole to Lynette, and he's like, fire him, and Lynette ends up, you know, giving in. And McCluskey just, like, slaps him on the back of the head and calls him a jerk, and I'm like, yes! So I wanted to nominate McCluskey for Lesbian of the Episode for that moment.
We then cut to Gabby and Victor. He wants to sex her. He wants to sex her real bad.
Who wouldn't?
I mean...
valid?
She says no.
Yeah, she mentions... I think the important thing is that she mentions there's a rally of his tomorrow, and that's kind of the exposition we get in this scene. And she's like, yeah, I'll be there, whatever. Me. She's very much playing hard to get with Victor.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut to Susan in bed munching on cheese, which I thought was hilarious that she was just eating cheese in bed.
I called her a queen. Lesbian of the Episode nominee.
Lesbian of the Episode for eating cheese in bed, absolutely.
Yes.
Lactose intolerance be damned. I don't know. I'm just assuming. I feel like Susan's the kind of person who would have lactose intolerance. I don't know.
I feel like she definitely has lactose intolerance. She never takes those, like, lactaids.
No.
She never does.
I feel like every friend I have that has lactose intolerance, like, eats a giant piece of cheese pizza and is like, I'll be fine, it's whatever.
But essentially she got Mike a thank you gift.
Yeah, because she's a nice person and Ian's a fucking piss baby about it. And also I didn't even hear cheese. Oh, what'd you say?
I said she does offer him some cheese.
I mean, come on. I got distracted and did not write down anything else that happened in their interaction outside of him being annoyed because I was so distracted by them beginning to fuck with the door wide open.
Yes. Like,
does Julie live in this house?
That's what I wrote in all caps. Their hallway door is open.
I like wasn't even paying attention because I was so scared Julie was going to walk in on them.
There's a lot of sex in this episode.
Yeah, well,
because speaking of sex, let's go to Mike's house. There's a ring-a-ding-ding on that doorbell. Carlos answers. It's Edie, and they're going to have sex until they have sex right. And they trash Mike's place, and they go to the hospital.
You're right. I forgot. I, like, totally forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So you were right. Sex did send them to the ER. Oh, my God. I'm a fool. Yay, but 20 minutes ago, I was such a fool.
And yeah, they just kind of, they go to the hospital because they both got sex-related injuries.
It's great. And they just agree to be friends. They're like, you know, let's just not do this whole sex thing. And I think that that's good because it seems like Travers really likes Carlos, and like Travers's relationship with him is important to Carlos. And so I think it's good that they decide to be friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no way they're never not going to be friends. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to just totally stick with that and not change at all. Yeah.
So let's just go to the next scene since we're so happy. Let's go to Gabby and Victor. She's... Leadership, vision, results. That's what you'll get if you vote for me for mayor. If I vote.
She was like just reading a Cosmo or some shit. And here's the thing. If I was Victor, I would be kind of annoyed because I'd be like, I invited you to this thing to watch me do my job. And you're reading a Cosmo in the front row. But she does eventually put it down because she's enthralled by him.
Yes, I wrote that down. She becomes enthralled by him and his swag.
His charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
Whoa. And from that moment, he had her vote and her pussy.
I mean, that's pretty good because I think she notices that all these other women at the rally want to fuck him. And she's like, wait, I got to get to it first. And can I tell you, when they get in this limo, once again, much like Susan and Ian... There's a guy there.
Julie could have been somewhere else, you know, but we know there is a guy in this
least,
car.
At least they acknowledge it, right? Because eventually, like, once her bra comes off, her brassiere came off. I was like, are we about to see titties? I know we weren't, but I was hoping we were. I do love how Victor is like looking at her tits and he's like, can you close the window? I thought that was pretty funny.
That was.
And we should say the difference between this sex scene and the last is that Ian was not able to get it up. That was sort of a...
No.
Yeah, but Victor, I'm going to get the impression he got it up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. He did a pretty good job.
They
banged to the Grateful Dead.
What? That's Grateful
Dead?
Yeah,
the Grateful... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Grateful Dead starts playing. Unless it's wrong. It has been a day since I watched this episode, so I'm pretty sure I'm accurate.
I love that because I feel like it makes sense for his age that he's like, my sex music is the Grateful Dead because he's like 60. Oh.
And if they don't actually bang to the Grateful Dead, there's probably a joke, but I like to picture in my mind they bang to the Grateful Dead.
Hey, you never know. I don't know what I was saying, but I will say, we do cut to Tom. Sorry, I'm still reeling from the image of Gabby taking her bra off and seeing her bare back. But Tom is yelling at McCluskey for trying to take her to the house, and he is acting like a fucking child, and I was so goddamn annoyed with Tom in this episode. I mean, McCluskey doesn't really put up with him, and I would have done the same thing McCluskey did, because he was being such an asshole.
I understand that you are in a lot of pain and that you are frustrated that you just can't do what you normally can.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean you can treat people like shit.
No. And she's just trying to help and take care of your fucking 12 children and your home so that your wife can take care of the business you started. Like, I just need him to shut the fuck up. Tom was pissing me off this episode. This scene made me sad. Is that weird?
No, this scene also, it made me sad, and it also did make me just, like, very angry with Tom.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to slap the shit out of him. Because Lynette comes home. She's like on the verge of tears because of how rough the day was. And he's trying to get a fucking bloge from her.
Mm-hmm.
Sir? Put your own dick in your mouth. Get out the fuck out of my face. I wanted to jump in front of Lynette, punch Tom in the face, and just give her a hug and like some ice cream and a foot rub. That's all she needed. Yeah. I'm so mad.
I will say, Mackenzie, you do have to take into account Tom can't suck his own dick anymore. He doesn't have that mobility.
You know, he needs to get the discs taken out of his back so that he can bend over far enough to suck his own dick. Get some ribs taken out, right? Wasn't that the old urban legend? That's Tom's next storyline, is he's like, I'm going to have elective surgery to remove my ribs. Yeah, I hated him. Yeah. I can't remember if he was scruffy or shaved, but that might be the barometer. If he was shaved, then that might be what's going on. Because once his facial hair comes back, then he's good again.
That's true. That is true. That has scientifically been proven.
Scruffy Tom is the best Tom, and shaved Tom is a fucking demon on this earth.
We then cut to Gabby. And another quick Mary Alice monologue saying the best part of having sex with a new man was seeing if there was an obsession afterwards. Mm. And Gabby is used to like having sex and then men just falling head over heels and wanting to be with her all the time. But Victor hasn't really contacted her since they had sex, which was yesterday. So it's fine.
Less, like literally like 6 hours ago. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I mean, we'll get into it later, but like, I actually dug Victor kind of in this because he's like a grown ass man with a fucking busy job. So, of course, he doesn't have goddamn time to be calling all the time. And, you know, I think that we'll talk about it more later. But I actually just like enjoy how mature he is. And Gabby's just trying to play some games because she's used to game players like Carlos. But Victor is not one of those people.
No, and I like that about him. I hope he's not evil, but he is.
He is a politician.
A white man and a politician and in love with Gabby. So who knows?
I shake my little magic eight ball and it says signs point to yes. I will say I love this next scene, though. Because
we get Margs.
We get fucking Margs. I'm obsessed with the scenes where it's just the ladies talking. If this was the show, I would love it. Honestly, I want more of them just talking to each other, because we were getting some great Edie Gabby bestie vibes in this. Mm-hmm. Susan has a really funny joke when Edie's like, I never make a man, or like, I always make a man wait or something. And Susan's like, yeah, she has an aquarium and magazines and a lobby or something. Like, it was just a funny scene. I did want to nominate Lesbian of the Episode for the Edie Susan love being rekindled, because they were being very sweet with each other. And I was like, my Edie Susan shit from season one is back, baby.
I feel like we haven't seen them interact with each other. I don't think we've had like a Susan, like an in-depth Susan Edie interaction since season two. Yeah. Season three, this season we had Austin a little bit, but I wouldn't say that those interactions were meaningful to Susan and Edie in any way. I just miss them talking to each other, even if it is full of hate speech.
I still love it, baby. I love Susan Edie shit.
In this scene, Gabby also gets the idea, because there's a guy coming to fix her closet finally. Mm-hmm. She gets a little idea off those margs.
Ding, 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 ding.
We cut to the debate, right?
Yes.
And we immediately cut to the debate, and Gabby's plan was to bring her handyman as her date
to piss Victor off.
Debate. Yeah, geez.
It's just kind of rude. I just think it's kind of rude. I think her doing this is really rude. Like, it's been a day. I just wish she would have just called Victor and been like, hey, what's going on? Instead of bringing another guy to his job. That's the thing. If you're bringing him to, like, a party, or you're bringing him to, like, the country club to waltz in front of Victor and make him jealous, that's one thing. But bringing it to his job, I just felt really bad that Victor was completely thrown off in the middle of, like, what seems to be a really important debate. I'm getting the impression he actually might be the more like moderate Democratic, you know, ballot.
I think so.
And so, like, based on the things they were talking about, and I just was like, I don't know. I just feel like, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of rude. I was like, Gabby, girl. But it's also fully in character. Like, I'm not saying it's not in character for Gabby, but I was like, oh, girl, come on.
Yeah. And then she makes sure that Victor sees them leaving in the middle of the debate.
She goes up for like 10 seconds and then leaves.
I mean, there's a whole plot line in Glee where Sue Sylvester goes to Rachel Berry's Broadway opening just to leave halfway through and have sex all over her apartment.
Wait, Sue Sylvester has sex in Rachel Berry's apartment? Who does she have sex with?
That one guy who is on SNL for a bit, his name is Phil Hartman. Is his name Phil? Is it something else? Wait.
I don't know. I cannot imagine Sue Sylvester having sex with a man.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's a couple times where she lusts after men in the show.
That's scary.
Chris Parnell.
Oh, what?
Her and Chris Parnell have sex all over Rachel and Kurt's apartment on Rachel's opening Broadway debut night, just as a fuck you.
How did she get into the apartment?
So here,
I gotta watch Glee, I guess.
This specific episode of Glee. Sue Sylvester comes to visit New York, and she just kind of shows up at Rachel and Kurt's apartment and is like, I am staying with you no matter what, like, if you want me to or not. And so she just kind of forces herself upon them. And then, yeah, it just kind of goes from there. Sorry about that tangent.
Well, on that Glee note, we go to the pizzeria. Speaking of things that are messes, like Glee, we go to the pizzeria, and it's a total mess because things are breaking, customers are angry, there's just fucking dude being a total prick to Lynette. And I, once again, there's so many men I just want to slap the shit out of in this episode. He is one of them. Rick shows up because he never got an answer, yes or no. Mm-hmm. And he wants to know now. And she's like, oh my God, yeah, I was so stressed. I'm so sorry. My husband's uncomfortable with it. And he's like, I need this job. I'll take drug tests every week, every day. He seems like a good guy who's dedicated to like being clean and just genuinely needs a job. And like, you know, I'm someone who's, I'm related to addicts. I've loved addicts, and like this sucks that this is like such a thing that happens to people who are recovering, but like in this episode Rick seems like a really genuine guy who's just like, I need this fucking job. And this customer is screaming. I would have kicked him out, onesies.
Mm-hmm.
But Lynette starts just crying because she's just having a rough go of it. And I actually loved this. Rick steps in, steps up, and just starts running the kitchen.
And he's hired.
Also, did you worked in food service, right?
Mm-hmm.
It fucking sucks.
I have. It sucks. I in my notes, I know we're referencing our notes a lot this episode, but I literally wrote, she hates service jobs, meaning Lynette. We all do. I wish I could never be a customer again. What is the worst customer service experience you've had? Like, you've worked food service?
Yes, I have.
What's your worst experience?
I never want to go back. God, I don't know. I worked at this like cafe that like technically my title was a barista, but mm-hmm. I was also a waitress because we had like a full food menu, and I was a busser and a dishwasher and a janitor. Like we basically had to do everything. And the thing that sucked about that job is because we weren't typical waiters. Like people mm-hmm. ordered their coffees. We like never got tipped, and I worked in this really kind of rich, like white mom area of town, and they were just such bitches all the fucking time. And people would come in 2 minutes to close and order full meals, and I'd have to like wait for them to be done with their food before I could clean the store. And it just sucked. And we had these regular customers that order the weirdest shit and then like would yell at us if we get it a little wrong during a rush. Like one dude would come in and literally just want two espresso shots over ice, and I'd be like, okay. And just like, he would always cause the biggest ruckus if the ice wasn't right, or if he asked for milk and we didn't give it to him. And I just fucking hate food service. Did you have a particularly bad experience? I think mine was just an overall terrible experience.
Yeah.
Did you have a particular bad one?
I mean, I have a lot of terrible work stories because I've worked a lot of terrible jobs. but
Food service specifically, because like I could talk about movie theaters and boats all day, but food service specifically, we had a guy come in. This was like my first job too. We had a guy come in. He asked for, I worked at like a burger place. Okay. It was like kind of like similar to a Five Guys, but not quite one of those. But this guy came in and ordered a burger, just the meat. And we were like, you know, we have to charge you for the regular burger for that, right? It's going to be a little expensive, even if you're just getting the patty. And he's like, yeah, it's just for my dog in the car. And he points. And there's like this small car that is filled to the brim with trash in the back. And in the front seat is just like a tiny dog. This man made us remake this burger 3 times because he thought we were touching it with our bare hands and his dog couldn't eat that. He was not going to give his dog food that was touched by bare hands. And one, we were using gloves.
Yeah, was so he watching just, you fucking make it?
Yes.
I don't understand.
And it was just ridiculous. He just like kept screaming.
Customers are just so fucking entitled sometimes. And I feel like Rachel and I discussed this whenever we're like at a Chili's. Like last time we went to Chili's, the waitress was overwhelmed, had a lot of tables. And every time she came over, she was like very like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And we kept being like, no, you're so fine. Yeah. No worries. No worries. And we tipped her like 30%. We were like, I want to implore to every food service person, like, I am on your side. You could throw hot coffee in my face. I don't give a shit. Like, I know you're probably having the worst day of your life because food service sucks. And so I try to be very overly nice to food service people because that job fucking sucks so bad. You deal with the worst people in America.
I would say, like, oh, yeah. That and movie theaters. Because, oh, if I could tell you the stuff that happened in movie theaters.
Any customer service job sucks. I never want to work in a customer service job again. Oh, you know, speaking of terrible people, we see Ian in Susan's bed. You like my transitions? I think they're going really well. I need to talk about, Susan comes out in some lingerie to try to seduce her fiancé who could not get it up earlier. And the bows of this,
she's got bips
on her nipples.
She's got bipples.
The bows were on her nipples, and I started screaming.
I'm glad that we are on the same page for this episode.
Lesbian of the episode for the bows on Susan's nipples.
Please, please. Those bipples.
Those bipples, baby.
I don't even know what I was going to say.
Susan like mentions like she's maybe thinking about being okay with London, and it's like maybe Julie can do her last year abroad. And my first thought was, have you fucking talked to Julie? What if Julie doesn't want to do that? Whatever. She'll probably live with Carlos. I mean, worst case scenario. Carlos? Carl. Worst case scenario. Too many Carl-os names. But this I loved. Susan says she's not going to sell the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, queen, keep that house, keep your property, don't give it up. And Ian's
property queen.
Property. Ooh, landowner queen. She's a landlord, honey.
He's just shitty. He's like really weirded out by that too. He does not like that.
And I honestly was stanning Susan in this scene a bit. Because she finally calls him out and is like, I'm tired of you not fucking trusting me. And, like, I know you're just trying to get me away from Mike, and you're pulling me away from my family, my friends, my life, because you're jealous. And, like, I just was like, I love it. She was like, if you mention Mike again, I'm breaking up with you. And I was like, yes, bitch, yes. I was loving this. I was like, up on my feet fucking dancing. And you best fucking believe I was, like, dancing out the fucking roof when this next scene happens. Do you want to get into that?
Yeah, so Susan just storms over to Mike's house to give the gift over, and I kind of blacked out because I was just thinking about them smooching.
Dude, in 2 seconds, the chemistry they have is like 1,000 times better than Susan and Ian's entire arc. I can't believe.
I think they have the best chemistry on this show.
I audibly gasped when they kissed. I forgot this was going to happen, and when it happened, I went, I like literally clutched my pearls. I was so happy.
He just kind of goes for it. He loves her, you know? He wants to be with her.
back. I just love them so much. I cannot believe, I know I've said it a million times, I gave zero shits about this couple when I first watched the series, and now they are my everything, and I love them so much. Then there's this really awkward thing when she goes back home and Ian apologizes and kisses her, and it's just does not fucking compare. You can just see on
her
face.
It is a good contrast.
It is.
She doesn't care about him like she cares about
Mike is
him.
The love of her fucking life. I'm losing my mind. And then we cut quickly to a small scene of Gabby, the kind of recurring the montage from earlier of her getting no messages. Now she's getting a bunch of messages from Victor. And he seems to be like, okay, I get why you're pissed. He ends up coming over and being like, how many times do I need to say my sorry? How many times do I have to say my sorry? how many times do I have to say I'm sorry? And he rightfully points out that what she did was kind of fucked up. And this is a moment where I was standing Victor a bit. I love that he was like, you treat relationships like they're fucking battles. And I don't play games. I'm not a player. I have a job. I'm a grown man. And I apologized. And if that's not enough, then we shouldn't be together. And if it is, then you should accept my apology and we can move on. Like, he's just so mature in a way that I just don't think Gabby's experienced before. And I just kind of loved that. Like, I
mean, she was young when she got married to Carlos. Mm-hmm. She was young when she left her house. I don't think she is used to being in, like, a mature relationship. I think she's used to just playing games all the time because she's been with Carlos for 5 years?
Yeah, majority of her adult life. And
yeah.
She kisses him, and it's sweet. I don't know. I guess I didn't think I'd be into them, but I think that his cockiness kind of matches her cockiness, and he's doing a good job of grounding her. And I don't know. I kind of like Victor and Gabby right now. Like, I don't hate them. Even though, of course, we said, like, a couple episodes ago, Carlos and Gabby were finally, like, having great chemistry, so I wonder if they're going to build that love triangle or if they're going to include the Edie stuff in it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm interested to see where this goes.
Hell yeah. And then we cut to Edie and Carlos. Travers is conked out. Carlos and him have been hanging out all day. And, you know, Edie and Carlos are finally having some time to talk since the hospital. And it was a cute scene.
They had like a family day at the zoo.
Yeah.
I don't hate them together. Am I crazy?
No. Here's the thing. They kiss again. And they have sex. And it's really good. You know why?
Why?
Because there's a connection.
It's because they didn't fuck. They made love.
They made love.
They made sweet, sweet love. I like don't hate Gabby and my brain's exploding. I don't hate Edie and Carlos together. I'm not gonna lie.
I want to say that, but I don't want to just agree on everything.
Well,
so I'm gonna take
both geniuses. So
well, I mean, we are both geniuses, but sometimes, sometimes you gotta create drama. So I'm gonna be taking the official opposite stance on Edie and Carlos. I do not like them together. From this point on, everything else before this, I was pro Edie Carlos. Now, anti.
Whoa. Look at you. I can't believe you're tearing us apart like this. Wow.
I mean, we've been feuding for a few weeks.
We have been feuding. That's why we haven't released. And wow, I feel like this episode went by really fast because we're cresting into the end of the episode here almost, because we see that Tom calls McCluskey. She accepts his apology and she agrees to come back and help with the babies. And she's talking to Gilbert again, as we mentioned. And I think it's sweet because she clearly misses him. And we get into this Mary Alice monologue at the end where she says passion is a force so potent that we remember it long after it's faded away. It pushes us to unexpected lovers. It can knock down the walls we use to protect ourselves. It surfaces, it resurfaces when we try to bury it. And passion gives us an excuse to commit all sorts of crimes. And we see that Gilbert, as you said, is quite literally dead. He is in McCluskey's basement freezer. She has her husband's dead body. Did she murder her husband?
Good for her.
She murdered her husband.
Good for her. It was justified. No spoilers.
He had it coming. He had it coming. He had it coming. He only had himself to blame. Yeah. I mean, at least I'm not, you know, I'm not taking the official stance on she murdered her husband. I think that's what the show is wanting us to believe currently.
I'm just trying to think of another reasoning why you would be hiding a dead body in a freezer if you yourself did not kill them.
That's true. I don't know.
It was in his will. I don't know, man.
Oh, jinkies. Well, hey, that's the episode. Look at us. I feel like that was a quick little epi.
That was a quick epi.
So if you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Wisteria Gaze on Twitter and at Wisteria Gaze _ on Insta. And I want to try to do some more fun shit over there because we did a little unpopular opinion thing that y'all, the tea was piping and it was very fun. So check out our Instagram. And you can also find all info about us on our website, WisteriaGaze.com.
Yes, and on our website, you can also find links to our Discord. Our Discord is great. We hang out in there all the time.
I want to say...
It's fun.
There's you're not allowed in a chat. You're not allowed in the spoilery series discussion.
Yeah.
And I want to say there is some convos going in right there, right now, where everyone is debating what their ranking of the seasons are and what their least favorite season is. So if you have opinions you want to share.
Is there an average best and worst so far? Is there like a consensus?
A lot of people don't like 7, I'm seeing in the chat. That's a lot of people's least fave. And people are kind of debating like which characters do best in which seasons. It's been fun to read. I've been kind of scoping it out.
I'm very interested to not only watch the last season of this television show, but share opinions on it. Because I feel like there are a few shows that the endings are a little like controversial, or like by the time the end of the show has happened, people have been like, oh, this is garbage. But I have enjoyed Glee being one of them. Glee season 6 is terrible, but also it's pretty good. It's a good... I can't start talking about Glee. There's 3 different shows inside the entire show of Glee, and I just can't talk about it right now.
That's why we gotta have our Glee podcast, you know?
That's true. That's true. Anyway, on our website, you can also find merch. We have some cool merch. Fairview High Abstinence Club. We need more members.
We do.
The school board is threatening to shut us down. So if you don't get your Fairview High Abstinence Club shirt, we won't have any more Abstinence Club.
I should say I also recently put up a Loat design. So there's a fun Lesbian of the Episode design if you are a Lesbian of the Episode and you want to rock that shirt. So
speaking of Loat, we still need to name one after this.
Oh, yes.
But
right.
There's one more thing you can find on our website.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and it's a link to our Patreon.
Oh.
Our Patreon is great. It helps support us. It helps support the show. Our Patreon is pay what you can with a minimum of $2 a month. And with that $2 a month, you get access to ad-free episodes, our episode show notes, which I will say I have watched the next episode already. My show notes are very unhinged because the last time we were supposed to record, I may have thought we were supposed to record that episode.
Happened to me too. Was that before? I love it.
We also, we want to start doing more movie watches. We have one up on there already for John Tucker, Tucker, Much Ado About Nothing.
And we
John Tucker's.
I think if I can get you to watch that weird fucking movie with me, I think that should be our next one.
I think it should. Do you want to say what it is?
I have to find the name.
You
want to
keep
it
a secret?
Hold on. So it's a movie that I have found via looking at Lucy Liu's filmography. Lucy Liu, Nicolette Sheridan, our Queen Edie, and Cedric the Entertainer did a 2007 movie called Codename the Cleaner, and I need to watch this film because it's two of Ned and I's favorite gals, Lucy Liu and Nicolette Sheridan, and Niecy Nash is in it.
Holy shit, lesbian of the movie.
So who knows, that's definitely like on my mind for being our next one, but
I really want that to be our next one.
We should totally watch it. So we might be watching Codename the Cleaner and just fucking around for, you know, a couple hours on our Patreon if you want to hang out with us.
Hell yeah. So if you want to check any/all of that stuff out, you can go to our website, which is wisteria.gay, or our Patreon, which is patreon.com/wisteriagays.
And before we move on, we have to give some shout outs to our awesome patrons. We love you so much. So I want to shout out Amanda.
Annie.
New patron Aubrey.
Kaylin.
Cheryl.
Drusilla LaFay.
Elise.
Aaron.
Helena.
Jade.
Kim.
Liv.
Lydia.
Nadia.
Sarah Schroeder.
Sarah Swihart.
Tom.
Victoria.
And returning patron, Vincent.
Oh, thank you so much for being our patrons. You're beautiful. Yeah, you're beautiful, stunning.
Beautiful babies.
Now, can we name a loat?
We can name a loat. You seemed really excited about the Bipples.
I really like Bipples.
let's do the Bipples, the Bow Nipples, the Bipples. Yet another great...
in addition to add to our lesbian.
Yeah, that's not our lesbian, a notch in the inanimate objects winning loat category. I think it's great.
Guess what?
What?
Chicken butt. Freaking April Fool's to you.
Oh, shit, man.
Yeah. On a more serious note, yeah. I really like reading reviews.
Wow.
And I know that you do too.
I do, yeah.
For everyone else out there, if you leave us a review, it helps other people find our show. So if you like our show and want more people to find our show, leave us a review and they will. And on an even more serious note, mm-hmm. sorry, on even more of a serious note.
Oh yeah, you gotta get down in there.
We like to ask a question every week. Kind of getting those rejuices flowing. That means review juices. And this week, I think our question should be, what's your shittiest food service experience? No, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, we shared ours. So share your plights with us if you leave us a review of let us know your worst food service experiences and or how you would improve the food. The service at Scavo's Pizzeria.
I like that. How would you improve service?
I think that I would impose a cover and have a bouncer. I would make it into a nightclub. Ooh, basically. Nice. And
so less of a family friendly joint.
Yeah, I would just rebrand and make it better. And then maybe make it like a gay nightclub so all the like shitty people go, like all the shitty straight people go away and it's just me
and it's just Andrew
and the beer guy and Justin and you and yeah and Rick, you know, he has vibes, and then we all just hang out and we make it a better place.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
How would you improve the service at Scavo's Pizzeria?
I would mobility. We need faster service. I'm giving every waiter ice skates, but I'm not changing anything else about the floor.
Okay.
So like everybody gets a pair of ice skates.
Oh, yes.
But to reiterate, the floor there is no ice linoleum on the ground. Yes.
I love that. That's really innovative.
Thank you.
It's like Sonic, you know, when they have the rollerblades, but with more probably workers' comp issues. Oh, jinkies. Is that all we got?
I think that's all we got. If you want to find me on social media, you can find me on either Garfield's Penis or Ned Jorts.
You can find me on Twitter at Mackenzie Wilkes. I'm also on Letterboxd. I don't know. Come be my friend over there. That's my favorite social media site, I think. So
yes.
Come hang out with me on Letterboxd. I don't know. I'm Mackenzie Wilkes over there as well.
You can follow me on Twitch. I'm Horse Games Live.
I love that.
Oh, and also, actually, for the next couple Wednesdays, at 8 p.m. Central, I'm going to be doing a Power Rangers stream. We're going to be playing the Power Rangers RPG, and all of our characters are Saved by the Bell themed, so we're just kind of like these little jerks that have Power Ranger powers. My character's name is Real Reeling.
I need someone to quote the, I'm so excited, I'm so scared.
You know I will be doing that.
Oh, we got to put Showgirls on the list for Patreon watches.
Yes, because Kyle MacLachlan's in it. So
Kyle MacLachlan, baby.
Anyway, we're rambling now for far too long. Mackenzie.
Yes.
I love you.
Oh, I freaking love you so much, dude.
And everyone else out there, stia, just yeah.
Stia, just yeah.